invitation, I have a chance to give a presentation here. This work is done with by me and two collaborators. One is Radu, another is Antonio. He's a former visiting student in our department. This work is based on the Radu's previous work. In this talk, I will talk about our approach to solve the multimodal target distribution, solve the simulation for the multimodal target distribution, and discuss the difference between our algorithm and the previous algorithm developed by the Radu. First, the problem is we assume the population of the interest is heterogeneous. It can be represented as a non-standard density. The posterior distribution can be a multimodal. MCMC sampling method for this kind of problem can be extremely difficult as the chain get trapped in some local mode, and with the low probability, the chain jump from one mode to another mode. There are some approaches by some previous by some people. Our approach is based on we try to use the mixture Gaussian proposal distribution as the proposals for the adaptive MCMC. First, the adaptive MCMC is the algorithm that is different from the MCMC. MCMC is we try to construct the Markov chain. This Markov chain can converge to the target distribution. Adaptive MCMC is at each iteration we may choose some different transition kernel. So if we view the whole chain, that is not a Markov chain. First, let us to review the regional adaptive sampler. For here, one can have a reasonable knowledge about a region. This region may have a different mode. This information can be obtained through some techniques. We can look at the paper. I don't know how to pronounce this authors and the newspaper in 2001, but it is not clear how to use these techniques to define the desired region. For this region, we can adapt our local samplers. Simply speaking, the Raptor algorithm is generally like this. The Raptor proposal can be viewed as at each local region, the proposal can be viewed as a mixture of the Gaussian distribution. For the QI, is some Gaussian distribution that is, and the weighted adapted from the history information. Here are some problems about this algorithm. First one is this algorithm needed the this decomposition is predetermined. Another problem is for some case for this local samplers we don't know have a good method to solve it. Look at the here. This is the I call it the fishbone shaped mixed Gaussian distribution. We have two decomposition for the sample space. For this one that looks like that is I think that is a perfect decomposition, because for each region, each region contain one mode. So if we use the raptor wrapped algorithm, this simulation result is much better than this one, than this this result generated by this composition. Here we just do a very naive decomposition. For each local region, maybe contain one mode or one and a half mode. I compute the distance between the first I compute the frequency for each local mode, and because this target distribution is the for each mode that is the same weight, so I compute the maximum between each frequency and the 1/6, and I found for this result that is give a very bad distance. The distance is very big. So our algorithm is consider a little different approach. First, regional adaptive random walk metropolis algorithm proposed to rely on the approximation of the target. The partition of the sample space used for our algorithm is defined through a recursive adaptation. Another thing is need to mention is that our algorithm is a little different from the Andrew and Soames algorithm. I will explain the difference later. First of all, we assume the pi have a k mode in the sample space. We consider the this target can be approximated by the mixture model. This mixture model is actually the mixture Gaussian model. Here is the weighted for each local probability. We consider our approach is to try to find the estimator for this parameter and the mean and the variance for each local mode. We use the techniques in the mixture Gaussian distribution. We consider the mixture indicate ZK, ZN that is used to try to determine the weight of the how to based on the history info how to select the each mode. And then this is our estimator for the parameters. We also consider another. We will use the sample mean and the sample covariance. This sample mean and the sample covariance is consider all the history information. This information try to propose the value from the whole space. So for this parameters for each j that is used to propose the value from the j's mode, and this parameter the distribution corresponding for this parameter is used to sample in the whole space. Suppose we have a k partition of the sample space. We assume the partition is the consists of the k set, and each of the k set disjoint appear disjoint, and the union is equal to the sample space. Our target is try to minimize this term. This is the maximum of the callback library divergence. This idea is that we consider the maximum of the distance between our proposal and the local proposal on the region A and the projection of the target distribution. We consider the maximum of these values and then try to minimize the maximum value. And with this aim, we define our decomposition recursively use this. Here the meaning is the for each local region J, actually we compare all the local samplers, try to find the maximum density that one with the maximum density. Here is an example. Suppose here is the mixture normal distribution with three modes. This is a region decomposition. For this region decomposition, that is very normal. Later, I will show a case. The region decomposition could be very complicated. Here is our algorithm. At each time n, we have the history information x0 to xn. And then we use the recursive procedure to get our parameter estimator mu n and sigma n, and mu with the superscript w and sigma w. Our proposal distribution at each iteration is like this. Here, first, that is the mixture of the global proposal and the global sampler and the local sampler. For this local sampler, if the current state is in the jth region, we try to use the jth samplers, and then we use the Metropolis acceptance rate to accept or reject our proposal. Here the alpha is equal to 1/3. That is from this value is from some paper. They show for the Metropolis Hastings algorithm, if we use the mixture model, mixture proposal, this value is the optimal. But that is for the non-adaptive algorithm. We just use this one for our setting. First, we assume our state space is a compact set, and we assume the rho j is positive and non-increasing. The rho j is the coefficient of the this is the we can determine this coefficient. Our condition is very simple. We assume the rho j is positive and non-decreasing. And the third condition is that we assume the summation of the rho j and time the gamma j with power k. This probability equal to 1. Our theoretical result, once we assume the condition 1 and the condition 2, we can show our algorithm is ergodic to the target distribution. The second result is if we have these two conditions, we can show our parameters can converge in probability. We go back to the shift-borne-shift target distribution. Here is we just use the target distribution, the mixture, the normal distribution, to do the region decomposition. We get this very abnormal decomposition. But if we look at this region, for the fixed region, for this part, we select the local mode 1. But for this region, we may select the local mode 4 or local mode 5 or 6. But for this case, it's OK, because this local mode is very very small, because that is like a Gaussian needle. So this part, the density on this side is very small. So if we choose if the state is in here, whatever we choose this kind of mode or this kind of mode doesn't matter. Here I try to compare the RAPT algorithm and the RAPT algorithm. First, we look at this case. If we use the RAPT algorithm, suppose the state is current state is here. We use the mixture of the local mode 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Use the mixture in this case, but when we use the RAPT algorithm, we just use these local samplers. So there's a difference. If the current state here, if we choose, we have a chance to choose this kind of the proposal, we may have a chance to jump from this mode to this mode. So if the state is here, we also have a chance to jump this mode. So if we compare the result from the simulation, we know for this target distribution, the RAPT algorithm is perform better than the RAPT algorithm. But for this case, the RAPT algorithm can have a similar performance, because in each local mode that has a, even we have a chance to choose this kind of proposal, propose the value here, so that is also can be rejected. So for this case, the RAPT algorithm performs roughly same as the RAPT algorithm. First, the efficiency of the RAPT algorithm is strongly dependent on the decomposition of the state space. If a good decomposition, we may have a good RAPT algorithm. For the recursive region study, provide a similar way to solve the problem how to decompose the state space. For the RAPT algorithm, we can use this kind of mixture weight for all the local mode, such that the RAPT algorithm can perform as better as the RAPT algorithm for some specified case. Another thing is need to mention is for the RAPT algorithm, we need to take some time to do the region decomposition at each iteration. Here is some literature. Thank you.
too small. Okay, so now we move on to the last part of the day, which is the panel discussion. So this is supposed to be the most exciting part of the day, because rather than just sitting and listening to others talk, you get to first sit and listen to them talk, and then make it a little more interactive by asking questions, and it'll be more of a discussion. So first I'll just introduce our panelists. You know basically all of them. They were our speakers for today, but in addition, we also have one more panelist, Larry Wasserman. He is a professor in the Department of Statistics and in Machine Learning at Carnegie Mellon University, and he's also a member of the McWilliams Center for Cosmology. He's actually speaking tomorrow at the DASA conference, and when I asked him if he could possibly come a day early and be on our panel, he readily agreed, so thank you very much for being with us. So if I could ask our three panelists to support him, please. I'm sure he might come later and join us. So before we actually start the panel discussion, I'll just briefly explain the format. Okay, so the format of the panel discussion is there's three topics. I'll just read the topic, each of the questions. After I read the question, each panelist would have 2 minutes to give an initial address on the topic, and I will stop them after the 2 minutes. And then...
I think now they have more minutes.
Yeah, actually now they have more minutes, but about 2 minutes. And then after that, there will be, for each question, about 5 minutes of open discussion afterwards, in case you would like to add on anything or disagree with one of the panelists or, you know, something else pops into your mind that you want to say. And after we do that for each of the questions, at the very end we'll have a 15 minute to 20 minute open discussion where the audience can get involved. You can ask any questions to a specific panelist. So during their 2 minutes or when they're speaking, if there's anything that comes into mind, please make a note of it. And at the end, you can direct to one of the panelists, or you can just ask a general question to everyone. So we will start now. If there's no questions with the format, right? You know what? Maybe next year we can do something. Okay, great. Okay, so the first topic A. Specialization versus broadening education. What is the panel's position on stimulating a broader education in statistics at the PhD level? A general trend right now, once the comprehensive exams are passed, to hunker down and dig deep into one direction until the dissertation is written and possibly tenure is obtained. Should the students / young researchers spend more or at least some time widening their field of expertise, reading papers outside their specific area, etc., and what could the discipline as a whole do to encourage such behavior? So maybe we'll start with Professor Wasserman.
Okay.
Your 2 minutes begin now.
Yes.
You're wasting 2 seconds.
Okay, yeah, I think it's, of course, you need depth and breadth, but certainly the broader the better. You want to be deep enough in your own research, in your own thesis area, of course, to be able to do research in that area. But you don't want to just be a person who can do just one thing. So I think the more you can lead in other areas, the better would be my goal.
That's awesome.
Sorry?
There was another question there. What could the discipline do?
Oh, well, you know, that's a hard question. I know in our department we encourage students to do projects that are in other areas, and it's even part of our graduate program to do that. And we have many, for example, joint PhD programs. So joint PhD programs are great. I think we have one with machine learning, with public policy, with neurosciences, Well, I think the department level can encourage students to learn about various scientific areas and directly part of the graduate program. But mostly students learn by watching their professors, and I think setting a good example is probably good.
Is that all?
Well, that's all I have.
Okay.
All I need to.
And 25 seconds to spare. Okay, great. So we move on to the next panel.
Okay. I agree with everything that Larry said. I think that it's true that, you know, when you're dating stages and when you're trying to get tenure, you need to have depth, you need to have some name for yourself. But then, you know, you don't want to just do the same thing again and again. So you have to be able to find related things to do that are really interesting. And I think that the most convenient way that happens in terms of once you're a professional is that you've gone out and you've really made a name for yourself, so people actually invite you to work on things that are related to what you work on. Because they know you know this, they know that's the answer to the question they have, and then you get to broaden that way. But you really can't count on it happening that way, although the way they encourage that to happen is to give a lot of talk. So then the other thing that you want to find things that are related but not too different, and how are you going to know what they are? Well, and really I find just sitting around reading to be, one of the things that we're trying to do for us for the students is we offer a lot of what we call mini courses, and the idea is that they learn something deeply, and then we have these mini courses which we send this semester. But we don't cover just half of some series, then you cover all of it but very quickly. So that you see, I met that, and then you know what all the topics are, and then you need to move on to get married, you know something about it, and you know the generally and about it. But I guess now I don't like to travel so much, but when you're young, you've got to go to a lot of conferences and hear a lot of stuff. You know, it's where you're gonna get new ideas.
If you want to add anything,
that's it.
25 seconds.
Are you
fine?
Was that all?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, next
time. Well, you know, I don't know how four guys from McGill is going to take on Carnegie Mellon. Situation like this. I'm tempted to say they're both out to lunch, but I probably ought not to say that. really, though, of course, we completely all of us agree. I can't take apart anybody I know who I respect and wouldn't answer this question in the affirmative. That is, should we broaden? The question is, of course, how should we do that? And that's a very personal thing. And I guess I really say, you know, that I would throw that question back to you, the graduate students. If you're the kind of person who likes to get into trouble and to explore and to find out what's around the next corner.